Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 15th of December 2014, the podcast that closes the cover before striking. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Charles Thomas. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Let's freak out the news of the bogus. And we've talked before about the back doors that the NSA keeps trying to slip into secure software and sometimes succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's some potentially good news. Senator Ron Wyden has introduced the Secure Data Act, which would prohibit the federal government from requiring backdoors in secure software.
Nice. But I don't think it's going to pass because, you know, they'll say, security, we have to do it for security reasons.
Yeah, well, it's just like we talked about a few weeks ago with the cell phones. And the FBI was like, we need to get in. But anyway, the good guys can get in. The bad guys can get in, too. Because it's math and it works the same for everyone.
Yep, and when it blows up in their face, they're going to be like, we didn't see this coming. We needed more laws.
Yeah. So Senator Wyden said, quote, strong encryption and sound computer security is the best way to keep Americans' data safe from hackers and foreign threats. It is the best way to protect our constitutional rights at a time when a person's whole life can often be found on his or her smartphone.
I agree.
Yeah. Agreeing with the senator, we don't do it often, but hey, give him props where it's due.
Yeah, but I think hopefully with this we'll get at least some discussion, which that's the hope, that there should be some discussion here about this.
Well, so far it's kind of the wrong kind of discussion, because FBI Director James Comey has chimed in and said, quote, there is a misconception that building a lawful intercept solution into a system requires a so-called backdoor. One that foreign adversaries and hackers may try to exploit. But that isn't true. We aren't seeking a backdoor approach. We want to use the front door, with clarity and transparency, and with clear guidance provided by law. Well, the front door is using the clear guidance of the Constitution, which says you have to get a warrant and a court order, and then get the person to do it that way, and get them to comply. And, you know, if you put any kind of breach. And I don't care if you call it a he clearly doesn't know what a backdoor is, because they want a special way in that's something other than the user putting in their secure code or thumbprint or whatever. That's exactly what a backdoor is by definition. And it doesn't matter what you call it, any extra thing like that that you put in is a potential vulnerability. If it lets the good guys in, it lets the bad guys in.
Of course. It always does this. And I do understand security. You want to make sure no hacker can get in and such. But the hackers use the other way. I mean, we just had this huge hacking craziness from Sony.
Oh, yeah. That was huge. I wasn't planning to talk about that. But, man, if you read up on it, it's incredible what they got.
Woohoo!
I mean, desktop files on computers where people had their passwords and text files and stuff like that.
Craziness.
I tell you what, I don't think they got all those computers. I think they got the backups.
Yeah.
That's what it is, because the backups take everything and put it in one place.
Mm-hmm. Sure, you could have a whole month of podcasts talking about what happened in Sony and such. But, you know.
Well, how many times, let's see, there was Target, there was Home Depot, I forget the other. How many times have our credit card information been just stolen by hackers?
Well, plenty of times. Lots of times.
Lots more times that have been reported. That's the scary part.
What Senator Wyden is doing is a good thing. So we need to be pushed more to that direction instead of just, okay, let them have full reign and, you know, hopefully nothing bad can happen.
Yeah. And if nothing else, I guess we'll see who in the Senate is for our rights and sensible security and who just wants to snoop in on our lives.
Yeah, I guarantee it's going to be 99%.
Yeah. So I remember way back when the internet was first getting going, how it was all going to be free and open and we'd have our own civilization of the mind in cyberspace. That can still happen, and I still believe in those ideals, and we've seen how governments have had a lot of difficulty in regulating the internet, but still, they're doing a much better job of it than I think anyone predicted, to the point where internet freedom is really being threatened. And so the Washington Post is now reporting on the internet freedom scores from the pro-democracy think tank Freedom House, and America isn't really doing all that great. Other countries like Canada, Estonia, and Iceland are doing better than we are.
Of course, you know. But, you know, the positive thing, We're better than Iran, which is basically what, 89, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, 20, you know, for a country that is supposedly, everyone says, land of the free, land of the free, we don't have that much freedom.
Yeah, we're 4 points higher than the United Kingdom, and keep listening to a later story in this podcast for how free their internet is.
Yeah. That's what you call a teaser, boys and girls.
Yeah, so this is all about things like blocking websites, filtering content. You know, China has always been one of the worst on those.
87.
But people have figured out a way around this. Proxy servers, VPNs, and stuff like that. Something else we want to have time to talk about this week is the Pirate Bay going down. And it's been down for like 6 days as we record this, and no one really knows if it's coming back or not. But of course, all the clones are popping up everywhere. You can't stop it.
Yeah, I heard this, I think Dave Ticott, one of the many co-hosts of Bogosity, and also has this, you know, Superplex Brothers podcast. You know, I have the checks in the mail, hopefully, Dave, for that nice plug. But he said that there's like, you know, shared the story on Facebook that somehow there was like another Pirate Bay coming back up. I'm like, you can't stop it. Just like, you know, the war on drugs and the war on, it's just another thing that people think, oh, we can stop. No, you can't. People will make clones. People will make mega upload. People thought that was coming up, but now that's going to come back in a different form and shape.
Yeah. So we'll talk a little about that later too. We've got teasers all over the place in this one. But yeah, and I mean, we've talked about VPNs before, and we've talked about all sorts of things you can do. What Freedom House has found is that they're trying to be more subtle about it. They want a technically uncensored internet, but it is uncensored with laws that say what can and cannot be done. And they said in 36 of the 65 countries they surveyed, the state of internet freedom declined in 2014.
Yeah. It's important because look at how many great ideas on the internet. I mean, besides all the porn and the cat videos, there's a lot of good stuff on here. But
wait, you're saying the porn's not good?
Yes, porn is good, and also cat videos. You know, I don't want any cat people come after us. But honestly, there's a lot of
the videos with cats suffering. That's what I want to see.
Oh no! Now they're gonna come after you, Shane. But honestly,
you know, the cat gets stuck in the blinds, or the cat falls down behind the bookcase. All those.
Oh yeah, but and with this type of people pushing for less freedom, you know, that stuff goes away.
Yeah,
we have to be more. We have to scale back on this stuff, and hopefully, we can finally beat Canada in something.
We keep trying. Yeah, but I mean, the bottom line is we shouldn't be trying to figure out how to regulate the internet. We should stop trying to regulate the internet.
But Shane, you know, what about the children, they won't say?
Yeah. Children will be fine. They'll grow up in a much better world. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. So now let's talk about Congressman Jim Moran. He was going to be idiot extraordinaire this week until someone even dumber jumped in. We'll talk about that later. There's another teaser for you. But I wanted to cover this anyway because it's an issue I care a great deal about. Moran was asked by CNS News about the Howard P. Buck McKeon National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, for fiscal year 2015. That's the bill that's passed every year that funds the Defense Department and the Pentagon. And it's also a nice little place for them to stick in lots of completely unrelated riders and work, you know, their way in, like the Real ID Act was snuck in as a rider in the 2005 NDAA after it failed to vote in the Senate on its own. Or more famously in 2012 when they stuck in things like indefinite military detention of civilians, including U.S. citizens, you know, completely violating habeas corpus and due process. This year, I don't know if anyone's read through the bill, it's just so long yet, but they're already reporting riders everything from NSA bulk collection of data to 6 new national parks. Things that are bad, or things that aren't really bad in and of themselves, they just don't have anything to do with defense authorization. And it passed the House. It's now awaiting action in the Senate, which usually the Senate proves it unanimously after sticking in plenty of riders of their own, so...
This bill will probably be as long and heavier than all the Lord of the Rings, Bible, and everything else combined by the time it gets
through. Already 1,648 pages.
I'm sorry, but why do they always have to stick these things? Why can't they just let the things stand on their own merits? You know, that's...
Because they can't stand on their own merits. They have to put it in a must-pass bill. You know, just like the Real ID didn't stand on its own merits. It was rejected in the Senate, so they stuck it in so it would pass.
It just really pisses me off about this stuff. It's like, they can't find time to read the bills or anything else. Mm-hmm. Part of me just wishes I did have that type of job. They basically sit and complain all the time. They don't really read bills. They complain when they like, I remember one time they actually were complaining about, you know, working on Christmas. But man, we gotta work on Christmas. We can't work on Christmas. I'm like, dude, everyone out here in the real world actually works and grinds on Christmas. I mean, everyone else in the world does this, yet you and your ivory towers can't. You know, I'm sorry. It just frustrates me.
Yeah, and the read the bills thing is what this is all about, because CNS News asked Moran if he'd read the bill. Before they even got finished asking the question, he said, "Of course not. Are you kidding?"
Of course not. I mean, I think Michael Moore, Fahrenheit 9/11, he actually interviewed one of the congressmen and says, he asked the same thing. Do you read the bills? Going to Senate, he says, listen, man. Nobody reads the bills when they come up.
No.
They don't read it at all.
They can't. They usually don't have time. It's thousands of pages, and it's up for a vote. And CNS News continued, quote, "Are you planning on reading it before you vote?" Moran, "No." CNS News, "How do you know what's in it?" Moran, "Because many of these issues we worked on for years, and I trust the leadership."
Oh, goodness. Yes, keep trusting them, you know, just don't mind, you know, walking over that cliff, you know. Just like the people who say, well, your friend jumps off a cliff, you will too. These are the people, they would jump off the cliff if they got told, right? All congressmen and senators must eat dog poop on the 4th of every month.
I'm for
and
that.
And they would sign, yeah. And they would sign it, and they would be like, what happened? We didn't know. Well, maybe if you read a couple of these things, this wouldn't happen. That'd be a nice experiment.
Yeah.
If someone actually could get away with that.
Well, it's not just Moran. Speaker Boehner said he almost read it, whatever that means. You know, like, I almost won $1 million in the lottery. It was just one more number.
He just read, the title page, and that was it.
Yeah. It was passed unanimously by the House Armed Services Committee after only 12 hours. Which means they would have had to have read 2 1/3 pages per minute, even without taking time out to debate. But instead, they just stuck hundreds of amendments in it. And so you know none of them have read the final bill. They haven't even had time. And Stoney Hoyer, for example, said he didn't read it, but he doesn't have to because he knows what's in it anyway. I guess he slept with it under his pillow when it got in through osmosis or something.
This is the reason why we are in this struggle. I mean, these bills, the people, they don't read them. It's like, okay, just sign it. Boom, we're done. Move on. It's just,
It's why we need downsized DC's Read the Bills Act. I keep saying it because we keep needing it.
Yeah, but yet no, and the people say, but it'd be too hard. I'm like, really? To just have bills stand up on their own merit is too hard?
But every single one of these bills is a law that you and I have to obey. And when they stick in some weird rider to a bill that's no one read, and all of a sudden you find yourself in court for violating whatever it was, you know, you ate chicken while standing on your head on Tuesday or whatever, and you're like, well, Your Honor, I had no idea that was against law. What do they say? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, if it's no excuse for us, why is it an excuse for them?
Because they are the lawmakers, Shane. They know what's best for us.
Ugh. Are they the lawmakers if they don't even know the laws they're passing?
Well, that's what they set themselves up as, you know?
They might as well put... Well, actually, now that I think about it, monkeys on typewriters would actually... I was going to say they would might as well just put monkeys on typewriters writing the bills, but that might actually turn out better. So.
Exactly. How sad have we... Maybe this is just the eventual following of what governments do. You know, it's the... You know, eventually they become so... It just becomes so big and cumbersome to a point that... It's not even worth, it's just like, it's a bills, this, that, and the other. It just, it doesn't matter to them. Nothing matters to them anymore because they are the lords and ladies, the kings and queens, or we are just the peasants, in this country. And it's a shame.
Yeah. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects, and when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. By the way, astute visitors to the podcast site might notice that I turned off comments. And the reason why is that the only people commenting on the podcast site were spammers. Most people comment in either the forum or on YouTube, so I took out comments and just put in a link to the forum. But there's an interesting article in the Washington Post from Ann Applebaum about how comments change people's minds, especially political comments.
Well, of course.
Yeah, so, but not in the way you might think. She says, quote, "Multiple experiments have shown that perceptions of an article, its writer, or its subject can be profoundly shaped by anonymous online commentary, especially if it's harsh. One group of researchers found that rude comments not only polarized readers, but they often changed a participant's interpretation of the news story itself. A digital analyst at Atlantic Media also discovered that people who read negative comments were more likely to judge that an article was of low quality and, regardless of the content, to doubt the truth of what it stated."
Yeah, well, you know, that's why the one rule for these type of things, don't read the comics. That was the don't read the comments. And
but people do read the comments, and that explains why we're having a lot of these problems.
Yeah, and I'm not against every single comment out there. I mean, there are some things that, you know, I read stuff when my lone videos get a nice little comment or something, I read them. But more often than not, sometimes it's just ignorance, you know, sometimes there are ignorant people out there who troll and try to get a rise. I just ignore and move on. You know, you try to have a nice debate with something and then they go off on, they just continue repeating the same point until you just go completely insane.
Well, and she goes in to talk about things like shills in the comments, how most of the people are paid to go in and push an agenda. Now, those are actually pretty rare, no matter what the anti-vaccination people say and all that. But
goodness gracious.
But the point is, this is nothing new. People are talking about, oh, look at how horrible people are, you know, now that there's the internet and we can be really, really mean to people. Well, way before the internet, people used to send things called vinegar valentines. And I've just posted a link to a random article about them. I mean, there are tons of others out there. But these were valentines that they were popular for like 100 years between like the 1840s and the 1940s. And it looked like you were getting a valentine's card, but you opened it up and it was something really insulting. Yeah. Like here's one that says, "To suffragette valentine." A suffragette is someone who's for women's suffrage, for women's right to vote. "Your vote for me you will not get. I don't want a preaching suffragette."
Yeah, but again, this stuff has been around for a long time. I mean, people like to think, you know, oh my goodness, the world without Twitter and Facebook and YouTube was a perfect place with rainbows and kittens and sunflowers blown from the whole horizon. Sadly, no, it wasn't.
No.
So that people, you know, didn't really have this much instantaneous communication. And trust me, there's you never know. If I was so afraid and, you know, barely comment and stuff, I mean, that's how I heard about you, man. I mean, I looked at your videos, I commented on them, and bam, here we are.
Yep, that's how it goes. You know, you got to take the good with the bad, and the bad has always been there, but it's just like you said, instantaneous communication, plus the fact you post it once and anyone in the world can see it, it's just more visible. But, I mean, these things have really insulting drawings of disfigured people, and they're going after people like secessionists and surgeons, and there's one I think is really interesting. This is number 3. Down in the slideshow at the bottom, it's this woman who's drawn just like she's not very pretty and she's kind of bored and dull and things like that. And it says, "Pray, do you ever mend your clothes or comb your hair? Well, I suppose you've got no time for people say you're reading novels all the day." And that's something that's weird because you read a lot of novels now and people say, "Oh, you're literate, you're well read." That wasn't what it was back then, because this was before television, before video games and all that. And so they talked about people who read novels the way they talk about people today play video games. Oh, you're just a loser in your mom's basement and things like that.
Because it's a sedentary lifestyle. I can't pronounce the word. It's just, you know, sitting down, reading or playing video games or watching movies, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's bunk, of course. I mean, reading books or doing anything else is, you know, it's a good, nice activity for your brain. In fact, the real good ones, including video game stuff, makes you actually think about some things, which is actually the best things.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just amazing how similar they are to people trolling on the internet today. And I mean, a lot of these are mean. I mean, just take a few minutes Googling through them. A lot of them are worse than the trolls. They make fun of bookworms. They make fun of stutterers. I mean, just all sorts of horrible things.
At the end of the day, trolls will always, they always exist. People say back in the day everything was fine. Reality shows you the other, you know, the true story. It's like, well, we were always bad, but, you know, not all of us bad, but there are always pricks around. But, you know, the internet makes it a lot easier to find them, so.
But I think this also shows, going back to the original point about how people react to negative comments, I think this shows what I've been saying all along. We can't follow the don't be a dick advice a lot of skeptics advocate. We need to be nasty to people peddling bogosity. We need to be nasty to people like Food Babe and social justice warriors and people like that. The difference is we can actually back up our insults. But that's not enough. It's not, I would love to live in a world where you just make a rational argument and people go with it. I mean, if that's the case, we would have won a long time ago. But you need that element of social ostracism as well as the data and rational argumentation if you want to get anywhere. Otherwise, the creationists and anti-vaxxers and everyone else who has no qualms about using these tactics, they'll always win.
It might suck because I've been on the receiving end of that stuff too. And I could be just as nasty as anything else, but I always don't want to get like a little, not too nasty. I always like, if I got to go hard, I go. But I save my vile, my true vile is, you know, for, you know, racist and cowboy fans. But that's just my whole thing. But hey.
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. Well, more censorship news from the UK, and yes, it has to do with porn again. Just like we said earlier, the internet in the UK isn't as free as it is here. They just quietly added some more censorship to pornography by amending the 2003 Communications Act. And it's interesting, they're banning a lot of sexual acts. And there seems to be a theme running through here. See if you can tell what it is they're banning. Now, they're not banning viewing of this because they can't do that. They're just banning British pornography producers from banning it. But it's spanking, caning, aggressive whipping, penetration by any object associated with violence, whatever that means, physical or verbal abuse, regardless if it's consensual, urolangia, I don't know how that's pronounced, but it's the water sports. If you don't know what that is, you don't want to know, trust me. Role-playing as non-adults, physical restraint, humiliation, female ejaculation, strangulation, face-sitting, and fisting.
So the usual night on for affinity, then.
Well, but isn't it interesting, though, that a lot of these are focused on the woman receiving pleasure?
Yeah, exactly. It's not the... I mean, I don't watch that much porn, but I wouldn't want to watch someone actually getting caned, and I don't know how that turns people on, but that's just my personal... I'm like, you know what, if that turns you on, fine. But how the heck the UK keeps trying to ban everything? I mean, it's just like they're just being so prudish and such, you know? It's just like it's the old stereotype. You know, they just can't take, goodness, like, you can't let the cobblers and look about this type of stuff. We have more British pride and everything, even though more often not. You know what's just going to happen, Shane? You know what's going to happen.
What's that?
They're going to have more people doing this type of stuff. And in fact, there's actually a video on here of actually protesters.
Oh, yeah. Lots of protesters.
Of course. Yeah. Men and women.
But what you're actually going to get is these pornography producers going out of the country to do it.
Yep.
Because it's fine to do it out of the country and then import it. You just can't produce it in Britain that way. So it just means more jobs going away.
Yep. And, you know, they're going to go up to Russia. They're going to go to Ireland. They're going to go all to... I wouldn't decide they're going to come all to old United States or something like that.
Oh, there's plenty of them here already.
Yeah, that's true. So I, oh goodness, it's foolish.
Yeah.
It's like, I know, people say, oh, we have to protect the kids. I'm like, seriously? The kids are not looking, it's not the kids. It's the old guy. It's the old guys and gals and everything else.
So there's a lot of reaction from this, obviously. You have Jerry Barnett of the group Sex and Censorship, which is an anti-censorship group, quote, "There appear to be no rational explanations for most of the R18 rules," and that's what they call these amendments. "They're simply a set of moral judgments designed by people who have struggled endlessly to stop British people from watching pornography." You also have, and I'm probably going to mangle this, Itziar Bilbao Urrutia, who's a porn producer who does feminist dominatrix themes. I'm trying to get that image in my head, but realizing I probably don't want to. But, you know, a lot of feminists are using porn to empower women and things like that, so that's probably what they're talking about. But she said, quote, "The new legislation is absurd and surreal. I mean, why ban face-sitting? What's so dangerous about it? It's a harmless activity that most femdom performers, myself included, do fully dressed anyway. Its power is symbolic. Woman on top, unattainable."
I don't know who they're trying to do all this type of stuff for. It's just, again, pointless censorship is just, it's just really pointless and...
Probably just grandstanding to people. Hey, look at what we did. Look at how moral we are. I mean, they're politicians, right?
Yeah, that's true. Trying to protect...
Not really different from ours.
Yeah, you know, but again, they're trying, like you said, they're trying to see that they're doing something. See, we're responsible. Come vote me back into my power. And sadly, they will get voted back because... They're family values. You know, they care about family values, Shane. Yeah.
So you have the Department for Culture, Media, and Sport. Check this out. Quote, "The legislation provides the same level of protection to the online world that exists on the high street in relation to the sale of physical DVDs. In a converging media world, these provisions must be coherent, and the BBFC classification regime is a tried and tested system of what content is regarded as harmful for minors." Now, it's interesting that it said tried and tested. It means it's been done before, but it doesn't say anything about the results. It didn't say it was tried and it works, or it's tested and it's passed, just that it happened.
Trust us, man. It's all good. Don't worry about it. We'll protect. At the end of the day, it does nothing, and you just waste time, money.
And the harmful for minors, I mean, why would that be any more harmful for minors than any other kind of pornography? I don't know.
I just don't understand. People are just like, well, we have to have this type of situation. You know, they need the governments have to take over everything. That's what the whole thing is. It's just, I don't know.
You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers. And Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. And now it's time to sick Tommy Lee Jones after this week's Biggest Bogon Emitter. And instead of trying to go down the rabbit hole of trying to figure out who actually did what, I'm just going to say that the recipient is the U.S. government, because it's really the work of lots of people throughout it, top to bottom. We've talked before about Kim.com, the mind behind Mega Upload, that was taken down by the U.S. government despite the fact that it was in New Zealand. And so the U.S. then filed a criminal case against .com, which hasn't done much since .com lives in New Zealand and not the United States. So now they filed a civil case asking to forfeit all of his bank accounts and other possessions. And so the DOJ filed a motion, said that Kim.com and his fellow defendants have no right to oppose the forfeiture because they're fugitives.
Really?
Yep, this is U.S. Attorney Dana Boente, quote, claimants Bram van der Kolk, Finn Batato, Julius Benko, Kim.com, Matthias Dortmund, and Sven Internach are deliberately avoiding prosecution by declining to enter the United States where the criminal case is pending.
Of course, yeah, because, you know, they what crimes were they accused again? Oh, they have pirated stuff on their website, even though more often than not, they probably didn't have, you know, wasn't even close to using a Mega Upload, you know, all the type of systems.
Well, no, there was stuff up there, but it was a cloud storage site where people could, you know, upload movies or whatever, and then they could share those links with other people, and they had all this copyrighted material up there. And
honestly, it's just like someone using a car to rob a bank or anything else. You're not going to arrest a car manufacturer. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's other
or more like someone, you know, shoplifts or something, sticks it under his coat, and then gets on a bus.
Yeah.
And then you say, oh, you're the bus driver. You drove the guy away from the scene of the crime. Well, what? You know.
Yeah, I mean, I used Mega Upload for myself, not for pirated stuff, but also, you know, for recordings and all this type of crazy stuff, you know, recordings for my friends, mm-hmm. for helping them.
And we've just moved to other stuff, like we use FileCloud to send our files back and forth for this podcast after we record them.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff doesn't make any sense. I have Google Drive. I could put all my stuff there.
Yeah.
It's just, again, it's stupid.
I think it's MediaFire that gives you a terabyte for $3 a month or something like that.
Yep, I can do that. There are so many places.
Man.
Yeah.
It's just so exploding. There's just all this space out there.
There's so much stuff I do now. I mean, I have riffs with some friends of mine and such about movies and stuff. I upload that stuff to, MediaFire. It's just, you know, and I used to do that for Mega Upload. I'm like, this is to me a foolish endeavor. It's a foolish endeavor and it's a waste of time and money. But of course, it's the United States government.
I think at this point, all of these things like, you know, taking down Mega Upload, taking down the Pirate Bay, taking the people to court. Because it's not working. They have to know it's not working. I think by this point, it's just the lawyers making money. Because as long as the lawyers can go back to the music studios and the movie studios and everything and say, see, look at all this stuff, then they'll keep paying them to go and do it, even though it achieves absolutely nothing.
Mm, yes.
I think that's all it is now. It's just more welfare for lawyers.
And sadly, it's just, you know, Kim.com and all of his guys out there who worked on Mega Upload, his website went down. I think he has another one, Mega.com. I think that's what he's doing this stuff again.
But Mega Upload's legal team filed a response to the government's motion, the one they called them fugitives. They said, quote, "These claimants never fled the United States to evade prosecution. To the contrary, they remain precisely where they have long been residing and carrying out the very business enterprise that the government characterizes as criminal, in New Zealand. Nor have these claimants altered their plans so as to avoid return to the United States. To the contrary, they are simply maintaining the pre-indictment status quo and following the rule of law by invoking their rights under the laws and procedures of their home countries, where they had long planned to remain." And then the declaration of the court, Dotcom said that he's under the supervision of the New Zealand court, and he's never fled from the United States because he's never actually been there. Quote, "I have never been a citizen or permanent resident in the United States. I have never visited the United States." So you can't have fled from somewhere you've never been.
But give them time. They'll find a way to make it all up and say, here we go. Well, they're fugitives in the, well, technical, legal, backflip section of the made-up paper we had just to call you fugitives. We just signed last night in crayon.
Yeah. So they want the Virginia court to, of course, drop this whole thing because it's ridiculous. But if they move forward, they want this fugitive claim to be converted to a request for summary judgment, because that would allow them to do discovery and find out, like, what role the MPAA played in the investigation and things like that.
Let me give you a hint. 100%. Just because this stuff looks to me very, very vindictive, very petty. But then again, that's the United States government for you. If they don't get you, they will be as petty, and they will get you in any chance they'll try to get you.
So it's pretty much the entire U.S. government that ends up being this week's biggest bogon emitter. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers, backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now let's aerosolize this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week it goes to Kevin Sabet, drug policy advisor to Clinton, H.W. Bush, and Obama. And this was at an anti-marijuana panel hosted by the Heritage Foundation. Representative John Fleming called arguments for medical marijuana complete rubbish. Barry McCaffrey said, you've got to have a screw loose. Then they went all about how marijuana was involved in teenage drug abuse. So, I mean, just the usual anti-legalization bogosity we keep hearing, you know, the drug warriors going, yeah, we got to fight it, we got to stop the evil weed and stuff like that.
Even though more often than not, their kids are already smoking it because drug dealers are not looking for IDs.
Most of them are probably smoking it. What are you talking about?
I know. It's just...
Well, you know that picture of Barry, you know, as a young guy, you know, with the joint in his mouth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that really ruined his life, didn't it? Yeah, he's stuck in this dead-end job.
And smoking the weed and everything else. And it's funny, former president, President Bush, he did cocaine.
Yeah.
Of course. It just, again, it's good for them, but not good for us.
Well, so did Obama. He said he did maybe a little blow.
A little blow.
A little blow.
Oh, I remember when Pendulette just went off on him, like saying, oh, he did a little blow. Yeah, someone like myself, or anyone else around your age, if you did this today when you were 20, young man, President Obama, whatever, you'd be locked up in jail.
Yeah.
It's just, but yeah, if you continue, it gets even more
stupid. What ruins people's lives. They're nonviolent, they're peaceful, but they get thrown in jail for this stuff. But anyway, we know all those arguments, but Kevin Sabet came up with something that's pretty unique. Quote, folks, if you care about Monsanto manufacturing corn, you should really care about the GMO marijuana that's out there now. There's no other way to describe the way that the active ingredient has been completely manipulated to increase the high and take away the things that may have medicinal value.
There are no words for this. It's just amazing that people, decent people who are supposedly geniuses and smart, they're supposed to be, you know, people we, you know, put in these positions because they're smart, they know all these type of things. And this whole Monsanto GM, I am honestly convinced if Monsanto is just so powerful, why haven't they, you know, took over the all? They're so powerful. Goodness gracious. It's an Illuminati.
Yeah, and he even goes on to say, quote, and yes, to you anti-GMO folks, today's marijuana couldn't be more genetically modified. I don't think he... How does that make any sense? How are you more or less genetically modified?
You know, the GMOs are not the Terrigen Mist, people. They're not turned people into inhumans. Sorry for that nerd reference, but trust me, people will get it. But... It's again, people think that they're going to turn into the Hulk or something. And they smell like, oh my goodness, they turn away. No, you're not. These people who are supposedly so smart. I think Steve Sives actually said this, like, top five stupid things of being a liberal. He said the same thing, like, you know, you be supposedly so smart, but yet they swallowed this BS hole. And that's why no one likes. Nobody really respects anyone of the liberals. And you have to say.
Yeah. The liberals are just as anti-science as the Republicans, just about different subjects.
Yeah, that's the real sad truth. There has been no evidence proving that GMOs hurt people, have gotten anyone sick, or anything else, or killed anyone. Same thing as marijuana. And it's like, oh my gosh, GMO. Well, I mean, I don't understand this. They are completely and utter morons. They are not morons, but they are dangerous, and they are... Honestly, people who honestly will kill anyone. This stuff right there, what they support, will kill so many people. It already has killed people. The lack of people says GMOs have led people being starved out in other countries. And now marijuana, of course, you know what? I shouldn't be surprised by this because honestly, it's ignorance. Am I wrong? I just want someone to come in and say I'm wrong. Please, tell me.
Well, and then Sabet also went and said that you would have the mass commercialization of marijuana, and it'll become another tobacco industry and be hijacked by corporate interests.
Because what we are doing right now is working so well. I mean, how many people have been locked up and left in prison? When they survive getting shot up, they go in prison and never get a full job or have to continue being a criminal. I mean, the way we're doing it right now is helping so many lives.
Yeah. Isn't it better to be hijacked by corporate interests than to be hijacked by criminal interests?
Yeah. And I honestly don't remember corporations unless you watch all these stupid movies, which I love, by the way. I love how Hollywood put the, anti-corporation movies and such, you know, that sort of thing. You know, say corporations are evil, but yet they're
produced by corporations.
Yeah. it's funny. And now these people are saying, oh, we have to stop the evil corporations. I'm like, dude, corporations, they might not be the best friends, but you know what? At least they won't kill you.
Yeah. And this is at the Heritage Foundation.
Of course.
Yes. So, pro-drug war, bogus. Anti-market, bogus. Anti-GMO, bogus. That's triple bogus right there. And I think that when someone links them all together, the way this guy did, it should be exponential. So it's like bogus to the power of 3. 9 times bogus.
Man. And you said, honestly, you want to look for idiots of the year. I honestly, I don't think this should be right here at the top. Because right here, you are the most moronic person that actually are walking the earth right now. With power, with people in power, you know, you can talk to people in power. You could actually stop this right now. And again, I can point to other countries. You know, Portugal, they decriminalized, and they have a healthier and, you know, less crime-ridden state. But no,
Every time it's been tried, it worked.
No, because honestly, we like, you know, it's working here, Shay. You know, look at all the deaths and look how many people getting arrested and have their lives been destroyed. Clearly, it's working.
Which means Kevin Sabet zoomed above all the competition to become this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire.
Well, that wraps up this and no singing edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at Bogosity.tv where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@Bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Charles Thomas for joining me.
No problem.
This is our last podcast of 2014, so we'll see you at the end of the year. Until then, here's a quote from Stephen King. I think that marijuana should not only be legal, I think it should be a cottage industry. It would be wonderful for the state of Maine. There's some pretty good homegrown dope. I'm sure it would be even better if you could grow it with fertilizers and have greenhouses. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Christmas time is coming, and the most classic of Christmas stories is A Christmas Carol. But how much do you know about the original Charles Dickens novella? Have you dismissed it as a children's book with one-dimensional characters amounting to nothing but platitudes and cliches? Maybe your appreciation of the book was even muted by those dry, boring, annotated books they made you read in school. My book, the sarcastically annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, uses both facts and humor to present the book in a way you probably haven't seen it before. Giving praise when deserved and beratement when warranted, this book is put in the perspective of its time and shows a dimensional, multi-layered Ebenezer Scrooge from start to finish. Skepticism, history, and even economics are employed to show the book in relation to today in an easily accessible format. Appreciate the Christmas of your youth all over again. Get The Sarcastically Annotated A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, available at Amazon and on PDF as well.
Fuck you, Kevin Sabat.